Our buddy Jim Brogan is going to spend a few minutes with us. Jim, good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, Bob. I'm doing great.
All right, Jim is with Brogan Financial, of course, and my goodness, man, seems like there's been a lot happening in the financial worlds and just really all the things that you deal with. What stands out to you the most since we last talked that has happened during that time?
Oh, there's no question. It's the banking crisis and everything that's going on there, and the federal government stepping in, and then where does that go from here, and how does that affect inflation? How does it affect Federal Reserve policy with rising rates? I think the main thing it does is it just adds a lot more uncertainty and volatility to a market that has already been volatile and uncertain. So I just think we're going to see more of that, at least through the summer. You know, we've got the issue with the debt ceiling as well. I think that's since last time I talked to you, Bob. The debt ceiling will come to a head in June or early July. And I think that's probably going to be a hornet's nest in Washington. So, you know, it's critical when we have volatility like this and uncertainty to just realize that in the short term, markets are completely unpredictable. When we look out to a further term, you know, if I'm looking out 7 or 8 or 10 years, I can much better predict, you know, a return on an investment, at least a much narrower range. But if you look at where will we be 6 months from now, it's really just a crapshoot. And so in our planning, we should be structuring things that way. Things, money that we need in the next 4 or 5 years sure. should not be in the stock market.
Let's get back on banks for just a hot second, and we'll kind of cover a lot of the things that you just mentioned. What is the reason for the bank situation that we're seeing pop up in a couple of places? Why are they struggling?
Yeah, the number one issue is the dramatic increase in interest rates in a short period of time. Now, there were in terms of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank in New York, those two banks took excessive risks that they really had no business taking. But when we fundamentally look at our banking system, Bob, it's important to realize, you know, if you have $100 on deposit at a bank, typically they only have about $10 in reserve. Everything else is invested, loaned out to other people, to businesses. So their banks are highly leveraged. They don't have cash to meet withdrawals if 30% of their client customers decide they want to take their money out. So a run on the bank, so to speak, is potentially catastrophic in our banking system because they just don't have the cash there. So, you know, and then the investment side, when I talk about the dramatic increase in interest rates, you know, when interest rates go up, bond values go down. And so banks invest in treasury bonds and, you know, longer term treasury bonds out 10, 15, 20 years have gone down substantially in the last year and a half. And so what's happened is banks, you know, when people are cashing in money and the banks are having to liquidate investments that have lost money, and they're already highly leveraged. They don't have big margins.
Sure. How involved, if at all, do you think the government should get involved with these banks who seem to be struggling?
Well, I think if one thing the federal government learned in 2008 with the financial crisis and in 2020, Bob, is the quicker they can get out in front of something, the better they can manage it. And I think the fundamentally biggest issue is consumer confidence in the banking system. Because a run on the banks, our system can't handle it.
Yeah.
So giving people confidence in that system is so critically important. And I think that's what our federal government is trying to do. I think they're trying to give people confidence because if they can prevent a run on the banks and people return to their confidence, the whole system is in fine shape, but so I think they're managing perception in a great deal.
Makes sense for sure. Okay, recent interest rate hike, a quarter point. What do you think of that?
Yeah, the Fed is slowing down for sure, and the reason for that, Bob, this banking issue by itself is deflationary. So you know the Fed is trying to increase rates to fight inflation, to offset inflation. Well, this banking. It's been speculated that what's going on in the banking system is similar to the Fed doing a full half point rate increase. In other words, it's going to slow down the economy. So it's already deflationary, and so it'll the Fed was expected to raise a half a point until all this happened. So I think you'll see the Fed be cautious about aggressively increasing rates at this point.
What about retirees looking to finally take that step and retire? What are all this? How does it work, and what are the concerns that now they're facing?
Yeah, I think there are several things. One, they've got to have a plan for short-term income that's not dependent on the stock market. The reality is, historically, the stock market is the best way to beat inflation over time, but you need time on your side. And so you shouldn't be living on at-risk investments in the short term. So the income plan in retirement is critically important. And then I also think the asset allocation, that classic 60-40 mix where people have 60% in stock funds and 40% in traditional bond funds, that did not work well at all last year, and I don't think it's going to work very well in the future. There needs to be a greater amount of diversification where you own more things that if one thing zigs, another zags. Like that way, if something like stocks is way down, hopefully they're not all way down, so you can have more diversification and therefore not lose as much in market declines, and then balancing that trade-off between risk and reward, which is a fundamental part of investing. You know, if we're going to take less risk in the short term, that means when the market booms, we're not going to quite make as much. So there's always a trade-off that needs to be measured and planned for in a financial plan.
I know you've got another set of classes coming up next month. Tell me about tax planning and your retirement.
Tax planning and your retirement is at Pellissippi State at the Hardin Valley campus, and it is a one-night class, Bob. So it's on Tuesday, April the 11th at 6:30 p.m. It's just a two-hour class. It'll all be about reducing taxes throughout the rest of your lifetime.
All right, April the 11th, Pellissippi State, Hardin Valley campus. And Jim has hosted, I know I ask you this all the time, it seems. How long have you hosted More Living with Jim Brogan here on News Talk?
Believe it or not, Bob, it's been I'm in the 17th year. Yeah. It's been over 16 years. It's hard to believe.
Buddy, I knew it was more than 15. You're in the 17th year. Okay, it's coming up Saturday from 9 till 10, then again from 3 until 4. And the cool thing about Jim's show, yeah, they do discuss some financial things there, but he also discusses a lot of topical things as well, like, it couldn't be more timely. Spring allergies coming up Saturday morning.
Yeah, my friend Ty Prince, we're going to have him on to talk about seasonal allergies. We have him on every year this time of year. And, you know, with the hard freeze we had last weekend, you know, how's that going to affect our allergies? So we're just going to talk about spring allergies.
All right, Jim, we'll look forward to it this Saturday, 9 till 10 in the morning, 3 till 4 in the afternoon. And I think you pointed out in a really fine fashion today that, man, when it comes to your financial investments and everything, this has almost become a day-to-day situation, and you really need to stay on top of it. And I know that's what you guys at Brogan Financial can offer. And if you want to get a consultation with the crew there, 865-862-6800. Jim will be listening Saturday morning.